Because demons always try to intimidate you, make you feel like you better not do it, you better not say anything. That's why you get crazy and just say anything. Because they don't know what you're going to do. It puts them on what? The defensive. See, right now they're offensive because they think all church people are cowards. That's why the Roman Catholic is coming right up to me. I want you to know. Like I'm supposed to be, okay, man, I didn't mean no harm. I just saying. Crazy. Because, see, Roman Catholic women that pray to Mary get strong in Mary's Jezebel spirit. And they'll step up to any man like a big old thug, a linebacker. But you don't have to fight them. Because if you got the authority of God at your disposal, they're inconsequential. Everything outside of Israel is a Gentile. So what is that to you? Jesus said, look, what's the chaff to the wheat? Tares don't mean anything to the wheat. They're just weeds. So, you know, all this stuff is just their effort, demonically inspired, to stand against the word of God and the authority of God and the anointing of God. You don't have to be reacting to that. They always somewhere trying to act all crazy. Looking at y'all with the crayon. Now you get bold enough, they'll talk to you. You think you're something, don't you? And the devil be coming out of left field on you. Don't even know what they're talking about. Yes. You think you all that or something? You think that black dress look good on you? That don't even look good on you. You're trying to pull you out there. Yeah. Why you get that jean jacket on with that black dress? That don't even match. And them silver sandals, that sure don't go with that outfit. I don't like your hair neither. I don't like how that fits. That really look bad on you. And your makeup ain't put on right neither. It's a smudge right down the side of your face. You didn't even blend that in good when you put it on. Your foundation ain't on right. That sure was messed up. You know what? Would you say a sad affair? You gonna talk back to me? You trying to get smart now? You gonna be smart, Alecky? Huh? See, they're gonna try to get you out there, man. They're gonna try to get you out there. He wants to say, why'd you stop? He is an expert at pulling you out there. But he can't pull a dead man out there. Hey, man, I don't care. I don't care if my jean jacket don't match my dress. I don't care. All I had, I put on what I had. You gonna buy me something else? You know what I'm saying? Then that's when the conversation is over at that point. I ain't buying you nothing else now. You see what I'm saying? But you gotta learn the tactics of the devil so you don't get drawn into his arena. He's got to get you over there with him to actually do what he has to do. If you stay in the Spirit of God and let God envelop you, he got to pull Jesus out there. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones. He got to get them over there. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from this temple. For it is written, God has given his angels charge over thee, lest you dash your feet upon a stone. Huh? Looking over the top of the glasses of Jesus. Hey? Because he knew he had quoted the Bible to him. He was trying to make him perform for him. Just respond to me. Do something righteous even in response to me. Just as long as you respond to him, he's got you. He got you over the emotion. He got you in his domain. He got control of your soul because your soul is responding to him. He got you. And you'll be thinking you're doing something and got it all right. I had to let them know that I ain't the one. And I told, you was over there with the devil. He had you jacked and you didn't even know it. That's why, man, as men as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can't respond to the adversary and claim to have dominion over him. Man, you better learn these lessons real good now, because as we get closer to actual conflict and warfare, he's going to come to try to pull you out. And if you got any emotional inroads, if you got any avenue in through your five carnal senses, he'll get you over there and captivate you. You won't even know you're over there. You'll be over there before you even know what happened. in a twinkling, in a moment, in a blink of an eye, you'll be in the flesh. Especially somebody real close to you. And see, your mama a lot of times got herself in you because she bewitched you, and so she's able to pull those triggers because she's been calling your names your whole life. And then that thing, it still affects you emotionally. That's why God has to have you deadened. You got to mortify your members. You got to be dead to your mama. Because if not, the devil going to find somebody that he's always used to accost you, to get you in the flesh and use them. That's why you got to blow off everybody. I'm just singing some glory songs, man. I don't know nothing about nothing. And they'll think you're dumb. They'll still start calling your names and stuff. All to get you in the flesh or mad because they couldn't get you over there. So you see now, this demon came as a child. Jesus told to go out, don't come back in again. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, verse 26, and they thought it was dead. And then what happened? His disciples came along. In verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind, this stronghold, this strong man, this dumb and deaf spirit that had this boy under control from a child, he could not be cast out by anything. He gone forth by nothing. Nothing can get him out but prayer and fasting. So deeply entrenched in the boy's soul, a stronghold governed by a strong man, and you didn't have the leverage to uplift them, to pry them out of there, because you had not been praying and fasting. And that joker would not move because he knew it was more flesh standing in front of him than spirit. And he don't have to obey that. He only obeys the Holy Ghost. This kind, there are different kinds of spirits. But this is a strong man with a strong hold on this boy. And you got to have enough power than that strong man to get him out. You got to get stronger than the strong man. How do you get stronger? You got to decrease to allow Jesus to increase. John the Baptist says, I must decrease for him to increase. Fasting unlocks a door to the spirit world. Because it weakens you in the flesh. It weakens your soul. It weakens all carnal factors in you. All your carnal senses. Everything gets weak. But that's when you're strong. When you're weak, you're strong. Because that's when God stands up in you. Because he has no resistance in the inner court of your own persona. He don't have to strive with you. He can just flow through you with no resistance. And the devil can identify when you got more strength than him. He knows. When you see, Goliath couldn't recognize that David had been with God all that time. But the devils around Goliath knew it. That's a different kind of boy right there. First thing Goliath did was curse David in the name of his gods. He prayed. He was seeking the demons to put a curse on David, to disempower him. That's why David said, look, I'm going to get this off of me. I don't come in my own name. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Invincibility. I can't put your armor on because I'll trust in flesh and man. It's going to undermine me. If he had to put that armor on, he would have been destroyed. That's right. I'm coming out here naked, trusting in God alone. Yes. And the boy was invincible. Goliath was through when the boy showed up. Because it wasn't David standing there. God was standing there in the personage of David. That's what you want. You want to walk through this thing having done what was necessary to have that strength of God rise up in you. When God arises in you, his enemies will be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. You got to be stronger than the strong men. And you better know, in our society at large, in this culture, we're surrounded by strong men. On your job, strong men. In your house, strong men. You can have a 9-year-old little girl that's got a strong man in her with a strong will.
Yes, that's right.
You got to fast yourself into a place of preeminence over these strong men. And the devil has to be talked to just like an old dog. Get off that sofa. Get out of here. Get on out of the house. That's all he understands. Brute force and power. He don't understand anything that's going to be cordial and accommodating and compassionate. The people, you treat them with that type of an arena, that type of an aura around you, but not the devil. The devil understands brute force. Brute force is how you got to address it, because he's a stiff-necked, strong-willed spiritual entity that will not succumb to God unless he's made to. He will stand against God with everything in him. That's why, you know, religion is bathed in demons. Because these people stand up when the word is given to them point blank, they still bow their necks and stand up to it. We will not bow to God. He'll take us as we see fit. He'll do as we tell him. With their teeth clenched and their fists clenched, ready to kill. Strapping bombs on them and blowing themselves up for Allah. Think about what I'm saying. This is real. And God is sending us wading into it with the power of the gospel and the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. But he's given us armor. He's given us weapons. But we've got to access those weapons to be stronger than the strong men. And fasting. Fasting is a weapon. When you don't fast, you can hear the devil real good talking to your mind. Watch how the devil gets more intense just by you not doing what's necessary to keep him off of you. He'll just fill the void and come flooding in, yelling in your mind with a bullhorn, telling you all, cussing all in your mind. F this, you effer. You driving down the street and somebody cut you off in traffic, you hear, you effing idiot. In your own mind, you're thinking, why am I cussing in my mind? That's the devil. He got access to your mind. He'll have your thoughts reflect the cursing, then accuse you of cursing.
Yep. Yep.
And see, if you don't know his status, you're thinking, I'm insane. I'm insane. I might as well go ahead on down to the people and get myself committed to the asylum. Because I done lost my mind. You are with some handcuffs. Put yourself in handcuffs. Go on to the station. Turn yourself in. Why are you in here? I'm insane. I'm insane. And I need some stuff to try to straighten me out. Give me some Ritalin or some Prozac or something. I don't know. Whatever y'all gonna put in me. Give me the drugs. So my mind is running rampant. I can't stop my thoughts. I need a padded cell, a straitjacket, and just, you know, feed me liquid or liquid diet. I'm insane. The devil have you incarcerate your crazy self. All because his thoughts are just permeating your mind. That's why you got to get with God for real. You got to stay in the word. You got to not just read, you got to stay in the Bible. You got to bathe yourself in the Bible. You got to live in the Bible. Let messages pull over you all day. I keep my headphones on all day. Just like one message up, one end, another one start up. Just, what you doing, man? What you doing? Hey, man, look, I'm staying free, bro. Staying free, man. In the car, you got them on the music or messages. Just bathing yourself, bathing. Sleep with some soft spiritual music playing in the background. Let that play. Let that play over me. Get up and put your headphones back on immediately. In the shower with your headphones on. Your Bluetooth on in the shower. Wash it. You're gonna get electrocuted up in there. You're gonna get electrocuted. Man, take them things. What's wrong with you? I'm trying to stay free, bro. I got to stay free. I get toweling off with your headphones on. You know. Then take it from that and put on the Bluetooth speaker. Let it play while you get dressed. Then you immediately get your headphone back on. Go into the car. I mean, really, this place here, man, is evil. This is too many stuff. You know, you can't afford to think about this stuff, man. Because that joker trying to make inroads all day long. He bombarding you all day long. And you got to do something to keep your mind in perfect peace. And the only way to do that is keep your mind stayed on God. You got to do it, man. I'm sorry, but it's with the hand we've been dealt. This place is totally overrun and contaminated by demons. They're in like a flood. It's an army been released down here, according to Joel. And we got to stay prayed up, fasted up, and offensive against these clowns. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Just two verses here. Look at this. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft. Crafty.
slick, underhanded, trickery, and put him what?
To death.
But they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. See how they had to just govern themselves according to the feast days, the religious arena, but planning to murder. You know how many people the Roman Catholic Church have killed? Because they wouldn't bow the knee to the Vatican and the Pope. This is a deadly thing, y'all. This ain't no surface stuff. You might talk about Muslim terrorists, but everybody wants to ignore the Catholic terrorism. The Spanish Inquisition. Folk burned at the stake. All this stuff, man, all because I wouldn't bow the knee to the papacy. You gonna expunge that from the history books or something? Come on, man. This is real. And it's the same way with Southern Baptists and Calvinism. Everybody indoctrinated by demonic doctrine, they are angry, vicious people that will come against you and they will kill you at the time appointed. And the Bible says, thinking they're doing God a favor. This is real. So that's why you got to extract yourself from every inroad of religion. Religion is the most damnable place on earth. Church is hell. And you got to come to terms with this. You got to make yourself totally aware of the fact that church is not my answer. I got to become a vessel fit for the master to use. I got to come sell out to Jesus and get filled with the Holy Ghost for God to identify me as one of his own. Not membership in an organization. You've got to settle that in your soul and in your heart now. Look at Isaiah 49. This is some insight to what's happening right now. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Take a look at verse 23. Isaiah 49. Verse 23, look what he says here. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. If you wait on him, you won't be ashamed. He's going to make these high and lofty people bow down and break them down. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. So while the devil's been having you as a prey, he's a terrible one that's been holding you captive. He says, you're going to be delivered. For I will contend with him that contends with you, and I will save thy children. So if you believe it for your child to be saved, God says, I'll save them. But you got to wait on him and you got to believe. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. And they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. You got to stand on that. You just got to stand just like granite. Yeah. That these strong men, yes, although they're armed,
that's right,
we know somebody that's stronger,
that's
than you.
Yes.
But we got to become vessels, yes, that he can fill.
Yes.
That's what the waiting is about. The waiting is for the oil and the wine to be poured in to change you, metamorphosize you. God's going to stand up not for the church. He's,
yes,
going to stand up in the church.
Yes.
And that means vessels have to be prepared for him to use. God has an appointed day of conflict. Conflict. I'm going to point out seven strong men that God's going to confront. Seven strong men. You can write these down. The first one we talked about already, religion. That's the gatekeeper. Religion is a damnable place birthed out of hell when it's apart from God. We know what true religion is. It's to care for the widows and those that are downtrodden, to care for the fatherless, the abandoned people. That's true religion. But religious systems built by men to feed themselves at the expense of other people are reflective of every control system on earth. Did you not know the rich rule over the poor? How do the rich rule over the poor? They rule over the poor because they keep the poor scattered and pitted against each other. You divide and you do what? You conquer. So the devil stratifies, he dilutes the oppressed people by giving them different degrees of fiat paper money in their pockets. See, you used to be with your running buddies and thinking y'all were equal until you made some money. Now I'm not of you. Because I moved over here in this neighborhood and I got myself another kind of car and I associate with other kind of people. So now I can't have nothing to do with you because you low class and I moved up to the middle class. So now I got some money and you don't have any money. So I'm better than you. So the devil has people worshiping people with money. He stratifies. He causes disunity in the community by giving out different degrees of money. Money is not to buy stuff. You know what money is for? To control people. This don't have any value. This is paper. How could this possibly be of any value other than they told you it had value? It's a psychological warfare. Washington, D.C. is made up of rich people who only use political spectrums to control people under them. They make you believe they represent you and they care about you because they need you to stay in power by voting for them. You know, Maxine Waters is filthy rich. The big mouth black Democrat. She's representing a group to make them believe I'm fighting for you. No, she's not. She go behind the scenes with them same people she's fighting with and they drinking a drink down at the club together. I like to have a martini, shaken, not stirred. Who are you, James Bond or somebody? They put on all them shows and all the congressional hearings for the people to make you believe it's real.
That's right.
Everybody up there, if they didn't go as a millionaire, they become one. Because they're getting paid by the special interest groups that they can vote for. When they fight about health care, it's not about your health care. It's about who gets the money from the health care. You know how much money is distributed through health care? And the devil's got to make you sick for the money to flow. That's why they're putting all the killer bees in the food. You don't want anybody well. Because you make money off of sick folks. Some people leave the drugstore, got more drugs than the drugstore can even house. We don't have this much drugs on the shelf. You coming out with a satchel full of drugs. Taking about 25 pills every morning. Because a lot of these doctors are just drug pushers. They just push pills at you. And the pharmaceutical companies get rich from pushing pills. And don't even talk about the side effects. Look, get this one scripture down in your psyche real deep. The whole world lies in the wicked one. Everything down here is wicked, controlled by their master, Satan. So they want to laugh about Satan because that's the controller. He's the CEO of the world. So they pretend like he's not doing it. Everything is a game. It's not real. What the devil is afraid of is that you'll wake up out of his matrix. Remember the matrix where your mind is plugged into the virtual reality while the devil has you hooked up in suspended animation, using you as life because he's using that physical body of a human as a battery. Remember the computers in the movie The Matrix had the humans in suspended animation and plugged their minds into a virtual world so they imagined they were living while they use the human and the electrical energy in the human body for power for the computers. That's devil 101. He lives off of you because he's a leech. The devil is a parasitical spirit that has no life of its own. So he's got to live off somebody. That's why demons won't in you. They don't have any vehicle of expression in the physical world outside of getting into you. So they live off of humans, just like leeches. They're parasites. They're nothing but a leech that attaches to you. And what does the leech suck out of you?
Blood.
He lives off of your blood and the life of the flesh is in the blood. The devil is a blood-sucking leech. He has no power other than the power we give him because we abdicate to him. We give him his power. We give him life. If you don't worship the devil, how could the devil be anybody? Think about it. Nobody cared about the devil one way or the other. He'd lose everything. He'd have no power. So he has to find a way to stimulate worship for himself. And he does it by setting up a system. And he exploits the fallen nature of man because he promises, man, I can make you somebody. I'll make you into a god if you bow down and worship me. Jay-Z believed him and took the bait. But these people walk around in absolute oppression, mental depravity. These folks are about to lose their minds because they sold their souls to the devil. What's the trade-off? You can live in my soul if you give me stuff. But can you imagine walking around with the oppressive force of the devil living in you? Can you imagine the appetites of the devil, who is androgynous, that has no sexual identity, he has no gender specificity? So he'll sodomize a man and turn around and have sex with a woman. He's androgynous, and you gave him full access to your soul, so his appetites are reflected through you. Why do you think Nicki Minaj acts so strange, and Trina, and Rihanna, and Kanye West almost insane, almost institutionalized? Now Usher looks like he's a drunk, a 50-year-old drunk, and he's not even 30 good. That's because they allowed the devil into their souls. Kim Kardashian, the whole Kardashian clan, daddy now walking around talking about he's a woman because you let the devil take up residence in your soul. You're seeing the results of demonic infestation. And church folk are here in the midst of it trying to talk about I'm a Pharisee and I'm judgmental. Why? Because the religious people have the demons residing inside of them. And nobody wants to confront what's evidently in front of us. You've got to come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing to do this. And he uses money only as a control mechanism. That's all it's for. It's not for buying things. It's not for you to save for a rainy day. It's not for your retirement. Because, you know, if you die, what good is a retirement? I've got $1 million in my retirement. Yeah, but you're going to die next week. The devil will have you out here thinking you're doing something and you're going to be dead. But money is not for that. These folk that are really super wealthy don't use money. They'll laugh at you showing up somewhere with some money. Money? Well, I don't even care. They don't even carry money. They'll call ahead. Their people will make plans for them to go on vacation. They'll call Vegas, get that presidential suite lined up. They show up, running the house, all the food, all the drinks, all the gambling, yachts already set up to sail on the lake, all that stuff. They don't mention any money. They just order their stuff. They call room service. Don't nobody talk about any money or tips. And they fly to town on a private jet, and the money is paid for somewhere, somehow. They don't even think about it. You somewhere talking about. You see, I got about five. You guys, let's put $5 together, and maybe we can get a cab to try to get over here to the
casino.
To the casino, and how much money you got? How much you bring?
I ain't got no money.
You ain't got no money. What the devil you come for? Just penny pinching somewhere. Look at that look on your face. How much, Jerry? How much you bring? How much you bring? $100. Man, it's just $100 just to get into play. Man, I don't know. Doggone it. Why I come with you? I know I shouldn't have brought your butt. You ain't never got no money. You fuck. See, that's not for them. Because they use it to control us. This is game. When you wake up out of the matrix and depend on God, you understand God does what he wants, how he wants to do it,
right.
Oblivious to them.
That's right.
You don't depend on them, man, because these jokers will limit you. They'll tell you where you can live, what you can have, where you can go and cannot go, because it's all an oppressive force controlled by money. When you're saved, you think in terms of getting things done, not in terms of how much it costs. Because it's all a game. It's a game. It's a game. People go to churches that are mega churches based on they think the guy got a lot of money. And they build these big places and give you the veneer of being concerned about you. And you go in there happy thinking, our church is so big and they got all these chandeliers and it's just so elaborate. And we got these elaborate sound systems and these light shows and all this stuff. And all the money flowing up front. It's a game. It's all a game. If you start walking around in life knowing everything is a game, you'll be free.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything's a game. Your job is a game. Promotion of your job is a game.
Yeah.
It's all game. None of it's real. None of it's, it means nothing. They promote you. They don't care. You know, they say Apple has a multi-billion dollar war chest in cash. So they can pay a person anything they want to at Apple. I think Amazon stock is $1,000 a share. That much money Amazon got? Amazon just had a call for employment, 50,000 jobs available. Because they're taking over. You don't when you want to go and buy something, you don't think in terms, let me go to the store, let me go to Amazon. See how it got in your mind has already made the shift. Why would you get in your car and burn your gas, go into the store in the hot, it's 95 degrees out there, crazy stank people all in the way in the line, and you got to go through all of that, and some old crazy person at the cash register looking all crazy, cussing at you and all that. Why would you go through all of that when you just sit at your computer, and they even got drones that get it to you in 2 hours now. If you got a small package that's in within the vicinity of the drone, they'll send a drone from the fulfillment center, and that thing will come and drop that package in your driveway in 2 hours. You just ordered it 2 hours on the internet. You can come to that Walmart right now and order your food. You know that?
Yeah.
You ain't got to go grocery shopping. Sit at your computer. And your stuff will be ready. You just come to the little pickup arena, pick your stuff up and go. Then they're going to switch it over to delivery in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to make people fat, dumb, and happy, and lazy. But guess what the next move is? You can sit at that terminal, but that scanner on your terminal, you got to scan that hand to buy and sell. See, they're going to know what they're doing, man. They got it all worked out. Everything right on schedule. Because it's all a game. It's a psychological warfare to make you change the way you think. They got driverless cars your car gonna become controlled by GPS. So won't be no wrecks, cause the GPS will stop your car before it hits anybody. You're gonna be sitting in your car like the Jetsons and just letting your car just ride on the highway. It'll stop it, start it, slow it up, speed it up. A driverless car. Man, what kind of a world would this be? It'll be a world controlled by Satan and the Antichrist, where the people haven't been put to sleep and hypnotized and mesmerized by the mysterious hypnotic effect of the Antichrist, and you'll be living in it thinking you're living large, and it's full of peace and safety, and the next thing on the agenda is swift destruction. He's going to come destroy everything. Just when you thought you made it, that's when God strikes to destroy it. So you see now, these are strongholds. One is religion. Another one, a powerful one, is sexual sin. Amen. Sexual sin has these 1,000 guys we're calling to Atlanta, have them sit there broken down, castrated, made into eunuchs with no gonads, no testicles. Because sexual sin castrated them. The vagina has been weaponized. The vagina is a weapon, a warfare. It's a pleasure palace. Because I can't go to war, bruh, because it feels so good in this vagina. And everything has been sold for me to lay up between this gal's legs. And I can't fight nobody because she feels so good. And that's all I want to do is just find myself another woman. That's what did it. The vagina has been weaponized. The devil turned the vagina into a weapon of warfare. You walking around with an artillery battery between your legs. Walking around machine gunning. A tank. A fighter. An aircraft carrier. and proud of it. I got power between my legs. They call it V-power. He think he's something. I'm going to bring him to his knees. That's how he be talking in those kind of terms. I'm going to break him down. I'll break him down. Well, what you going to use? You don't know. I got weaponry. Heavy weaponry between my legs. All that old twerking and stuff, that's all that weaponry there. Beyonce performs in a thong strap up her butt now. Just almost butt naked. I believe she jump butt naked if they give her the green light. You a married woman with three kids and you butt naked on the stage with a thong strap up your butt? No. What's wrong with you? It's a weapon. It's a weapon. I use V-power. The vagina has become a weaponized instrument of destruction, mass destruction. I define it. I show it to you. They get mad at me. Why? Because their weapons have been exposed. The Jezebelian weapons are exposed. The guys are held captive. They're broken down. Read Proverbs 1-7. I dare you to read and look at it. He tell you that thing is a deep ditch. A lot of guys been carried to hell through that thing.
That's right.
I know it's true because we call them up to war. They can't come. In the prison cell of the vaginal cavity, I can't get out of these slippery walls. I think it was Sheila E. called them sugar walls. He told that, you ever heard Sheila E.? Come inside my sugar walls. That's what she's talking about. She's paying homage to her own vagina. This thing is real, man. This thing is real. We got this thing down here through sexual sin that has captivated a nation, captivated a globe. And the women are walking around as brute thugs.
That's right.
Guys have sex for pleasure. Women have sex for power.
That's right.
See, because when a woman been hurt, she can hold back all that sexual desire and stuff. If she's destroying you, she ain't going to have no orgasm and all that. She'll just use her vagina to destroy you and make you think she's enjoying it. Because she's mad. I'm going to have sex with you, but I'm doing it to break you in half, you little punk. I don't like men anyway. I hate men. Now I'm using what I got to take from you. You might have some sex, but you're going to give me some money. You're going to pay my bills. You're going to pay my car note. And you're going to put food on my table. Because it's pay to play up in here, buddy. Pay to play, bro. Pay to play. Put the money in the slot, bro.
That's right.
And they got you. How much you want here? Want my credit card here? Take my American spread and go buy what you want at the store.
Yeah, I take that too.
Somebody shot the iron. What you doing? But that's what happened though, see? You can find out of a 15, 16-year-old girl, them old men trying to.
That's right.
Hey, girl, yeah, you need to get something in the mall. You know, I seen. Go on and get my car. Go to the mall. Get whatever you want. And he unspoken is, and then come by my house and let me have some of your stuff, your goodies. And you know what the girl do? She take the car, get what she want, and forget him. And then tell him, I'm going to tell your wife. You gonna take? I ain't taking nothing back. I got the receipts and everything. I'm gonna show him what you gave me. I'm gonna tell. And you better not mention it. And the girl, the 15-year-old girl, had a guy just wrung out like a wet rag because of his lust inside of himself. And see, if you a girl, you find out real young that this is what I'm standing on now. What I'm sitting on, I can get some stuff out of this. I can get some heat. I can shake this money maker. I can use this groove thing to get what I want. And see, when you program like that, man, your demise is set. Because now you've turned into something and you're no longer somebody. And you refer to your vagina as your stuff. My money maker. And you'll dress according to that. That's why people dress like they do. Well, who got all these yoga pants as an outward garment? That's like wearing a pair of stockings. All your body is exposed walking around because you are something now. You're a commodity to be traded on the marketplace. You need to put yourself on the stock market or something to be traded. Because you're a barter. You run in a barter. You got a barter system. I give you this, in return you give me that. They lied about when the NFL season starts. You go to the ramp when the players are leaving the stadium. Boy, you'll see women lined up from the entrance to the end of the parking lot. Everybody got on their killer stuff, you know, all their stuff out, you know, again, got the booty blowed up, they got their breasts blowed up, got all this weave on it. Cause they're trying to market themselves for those players, cause these are multi-millionaire players. I went to a Miami Dolphin game when I was stationed in Miami. Man, I went to a Pittsburgh Steelers Miami Dolphin game. I came to watch them leave the tunnel, the Steelers go back home. Man, you thought you was in a brothel. Most beautiful girls in Miami out there. I mean, everybody out there just styling and profiling. Trying to see, can I get the attention of a player? Because the bargain is, you a multimillionaire. You can get a taste of this honey if you got a little money. No money, no honey. And that's what it's all about. They become something. They market physical parts. That's what happened with Kim Kardashian and the Kardashians and all these other folk. You don't know anything that Kim Kardashian does for a living. She marketed body parts. She's a pretty girl now, but she's not starting to get kind of beat up now. But when she was young, she was beautiful. And she would market all those body parts. And that's what she did. Worth $80 million or something now. Marketed as a commodity. But man, what happens to your humanity? What happens to your consciousness of yourself and virtue and honor and dignity and your value, your self-worth, all that is gone. Because within the confines of yourself, you know what you did to get what you got. And you got to try to hide behind this veneer of happiness and success because of the shame and the guilt and the pitiful state that you're in because of what you had to do to get what you want. What happens to porno stars, strippers, everybody? They're ashamed of themselves, but they got to hide behind pride and like it don't matter and I'm on top of my game. And it's just a joke. Sexual sin is a destroyer. And that's been transferred to little girls in middle school and high school. You ask one of them point blank range, they'll tell you, I'm going to be a stripper. Don't talk to me about college. My aunt makes $4,000 a week as a stripper. College, man? Education? And if they're pretty and got no bodies, they know. As soon as I leave, if I make it out of high school, some of them stripping already in high school, 11th and 12th grade. They let them underage girls go to the strip joint. Don't, because she looked like she's about 25. Supposed to be licensed to strip in Atlanta. Did you know you gotta have a license from the police department to strip? Man, they bypass all that stuff, man. You got underground strip joints in Atlanta. They just somebody's basement where they run it on Saturday night, serving booze with strippers. Big old mansion in Buckhead, it's a strip joint. You never know it. Because these women have learned that sex sells. I can get filthy rich off of the lust of men. And now women. You talk to strippers. I used to talk to strippers. Me and Tim used to work at night and ask them questions, you know. You know, you girls are getting off at 3 o'clock, you know. Your night was, how y'all doing? Y'all okay? You know, talk to them, just chatting with them. Next thing you know, they breaking up with lesbians. On there. Lesbian been pumping them $100 bills to them all night. They up in Waffle House with lesbian taking them home. Lesbian got the stripper. Stripper beautiful. He looking like, for real? But that's where the money is. Strippers and porno folks are androgynous. They don't go with folks. They go with money. I let the lesbian do stuff to me because this is what she want. As long as she got the money, I could care less. You ought to see my bank account while you laughing. You check my bank account out. That's what they think. See, they think that that's value. They think the more money you have, the more valuable you are. They always govern themselves according to how much money is in play. I'm a boss. I'm on top of my game. You see what I'm driving? And they be pulling up in Jaguars. Some of them Bentleys. I mean, I'm talking about highline cars. The top-notch strippers in this city, they making money $200,000-$300,000 a year for real. And sexual sin. And so you see a generation of young people enamored with that lifestyle, you got the degeneration of society. Sexual sin is a stronghold. It's a stronghold that has to be broken by God. The other ones would be pride. That goes without any debate. Pride is the shield for everything else. Rejection is a big one because the devil exploits people by rejecting them first and then seeking to belong is what he uses to control them. I want to be a part of something, and the devil can ostracize you and make you perform based on the rejection within you. I'm trying to get you to accept me. I can't take you not liking me. I can't take you ostracizing me. I can't take you not letting me be a part of whatever you're doing. He uses rejection as a controller. That's a strong man, a stronghold. Fear is a big one. People are just afraid of the environment. They're afraid of consequences. They're afraid of people who don't like them and people who blow smoke in their faces. People are afraid. They're fear-stricken. Guys are terrified. I've seen 250-pound guys scared to death of a 110-pound woman. Because the guy is so emotionally scarred by his mama that any disapproval coming from a woman, it just tears him apart. He can't take it. He lives for the approval of the women. And if women put him down, he's torn apart. He can't take it. The women don't like it, so therefore I'm surrounded by Jezebel spirits, and I'm afraid of them. Now you're talking about manning up. I told my wife, you know, they got a man up conference down in Atlanta they're going to have in December. I'm thinking about, you ain't going to no man up conference. I seen that mess you've been looking at on the internet. That old Price guy ain't nothing but an old joker. That ain't any in a God. I'm the prophetess up in this house. I'm the pastor of the church. Man up. You man up under my auspices. I'm the one in charge here. I wish you would come to me talking about the man up stuff. I'll kill you before you go. That's his wife talking to him. I'll kill everybody in the house. Kill you and the kids. I wish you would bring that mess up here talking to me. I'll kill you. You may praise the Lord, I'll kill you.
Fear strikes the guy's heart. The guys are just afraid. That's all it is. Don't try to analyze it any deeper than that. The guys are afraid. They're intimidated by that thug Jezebel spirit, a dictatorial dyke. That's the little heel on his throat. And he's scared of them. She might look sweet to you. She might look nice and demure, ladylike. But back at the house, that joker is a thug. A thug in a Cinderella body. Got Cinderella slippers on, but she's a thug inside. And that joker's scared of that thug. Fear. And fear is piggybacking on witchcraft. That's the next strong man. Witchcraft is a stronghold. Governed by a strong man. The ability to divine supernatural on people's minds. To make them see and feel things that are not even there. To imagine the environment to be some way that it's not. Witchcraft. It's a lot of guys been gotten out of this arena through witchcraft.
That's right.
Their wife worked witchcraft on them and made them believe and see something that wasn't even there. You see, Price is trying to take your manhood from you. And Price is really trying to work something on you. And Price is really the Wizard of Oz. And Price is... And all the while, that's the thing that's trying to divine on your mind so that they don't lose control over you. And now you're somewhere talking about love. And it's just too hard. It's too dictatorial. There's no love there. Because my wife and that witchcraft made me believe that being a man means I have to be soft and sensitive, like she says. I followed her lead. And I feminized myself and I matronized myself to accommodate a witch. And you're a eunuch sitting down at your wife's table eating dinner, and you're sitting at Jezebel's table.
Amen.
Remember all those prophets of the grove that worshiped the vagina sat at Jezebel's table and ate with her. Submitted to Jezebel. And you came into the ministry, the arena of God, with a Jezebelian wife who divined that spell on your mind. And you still sitting there watching right now in a stealth fashion where she can't see it.
That's real.
and you hear what I'm telling you, and I'm exposing what she did to you. Man, repent, man, and turn on that trash and get yourself free. You at the job in the basement behind some boxes looking at live stream on Monday to see what happened on Sunday, because your Jezebel-inspired witchcraft working wife would get you if she saw you watching this. So you gotta steal away somewhere in the shadows, in your car. You going to the store talking about you're going to get a loaf of bread, and in the car you watching this. She said, why it take so long to get back home? Oh, I went by the other place to check on some brakes at the park. You lying to stay unexposed to Jezebel, trying to see this message on the slick and the sly. You the sly, the slick, and the wicked. Wasn't that a song? The sly, the slick, the wicked, wicked, wicked love. See, that's what you are, man. You the sly, the slick, and the wicked. Because you're afraid of a Jezebel witchcraft working spirit. That's a crying shame. The last one, idolatry. Just to have something you place above God. I won't come to God because I worship this and magnify it above God. I worship the Roman Catholic Church above God. I won't come to Jesus because I worship this. Idolatry can take on a million different forms. You can idolize anything above the Lord, and it'll keep you from the Lord. Idolatry. I don't get married, I idolize marriage. So anything that impugns my marriage, I gotta just forsake it, even if it's Jesus. See, I don't want to lose my relationship with my husband or wife above Jesus. You're an idolater of your marriage now. You got to make him the focal point. And from that focus, Jesus, everything else got to spiral forth. You don't put anything above him. He tells you in Revelation, you've left your first love. And he responds violently to that. Jesus must be the anchor for all things. If not, you've got a strong man. Seven things, remember them: religion, sexual sin, pride, rejection, fear, witchcraft, and idolatry. That's this, the big seven out of hundreds of them. But those are seven strong, strong men that must be overcome. You must become stronger than those strong men. And by fasting, you can decrease so that you become stronger in the spirit to stand against those strong men. Look at John 8. John chapter 8. John, the Gospel of John chapter 8. As we begin to shut it down. John 8. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Notice the if then statements. And you shall know the truth if you continue in his word now and become his disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Look at religion. Look at religion. I told you, here's a strong man. We are Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage. I just told you you were in bondage because you got to be made free. You talking to God and telling God we're not in bondage. We're not in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the slave or servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Here's cause and effect. You seek to kill me because my word has no residence, no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. My father versus your father. Jamar Baines did an excellent teaching on it Wednesday night. The works of your father you're going to do. You act just like your dad is the devil because he's your lineage. He is your father. You're his offspring, and you'll do what he does. The answer they said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, now he just told them about their father. They said, no, Abraham's our father. He said, the devil's your father, and you claim Abraham's your father. You claim to know Jesus while you're in the Roman Catholic Church. You're a child of the devil claiming to serve Jesus. That's right. That's right. That's
They said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. In other words, he just disempowered the fact. He just undid the statement, Abraham is our father. I'm telling you, Abraham's not your father. The devil's your father. See, Jesus didn't back off of nothing. He just told him like it teed out tears. You do the deeds. You do the deeds. Your deeds reflect who your father is. The deeds of your father tell me the devil is your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. They're talking about sex associated with idolatry. Fornication is pornia. That sexual sin associated with idolatry. He said, we weren't born from an idolatrous sexual relationship. Abraham is our father because of our bloodline, our lineage. Our people came from Abraham, so Abraham is our father. He's trying to make them see your bloodline and lineage does not dictate who your father is. So that's why they said we weren't born from fornication. It makes no sense if you don't understand what they're saying. They're saying that we serve the God of Abraham. We're not born from fornication that came under idolatrous sexual practices with foreign gods. We serve the same God Abraham served. No, you've made a mistake. You are a disobedient rebel, which Abraham wasn't. That's what he's telling them. You do the deeds of your father, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. See how they upgraded from Abraham to God? Look at Jesus. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust or desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, and because I tell you the truth, cause and effect, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You came from a lying daddy. If I told you a lie, you believe me. But because I tell you the truth, that's the reason why you don't believe me.
That's right.
Ain't that a mess?
Amen.